The first Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 19. The heavens tell about the glory of God. The skies show that his hands created them. Day after day, they speak about it. Night after night, they make it known. But they don't speak or use words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into the whole earth. The words go out from one end of the world to the other. God has set up a tent in the heavens for the sun. The sun is like a groom leaving the room of his wedding night. The sun is like a great runner who takes delight in running a race. It rises at one end of the heavens, then moves across to the other end. Everything enjoys its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives us new strength. The law of the Lord can be trusted. They make childish people wise. The rules of the Lord are right. They give joy to our hearts. The commands of the Lord shine brightly. They give light to our minds. The law brings great respect, for the Lord is pure. It lasts forever. Excuse me. The commands of the Lord gives are true. All of them are completely right. They are more priceless than gold. They have greater value than huge amounts of pure gold. They are sweeter than honey that is taken from the honeycomb. Your servant is warned by them. When people obey them, they are greatly rewarded. But who can know their own mistakes? Forgive my hidden faults. Also, keep me from the sins I want to commit. May they not be my master. Then I will be without blame. I will not be guilty of any great sin against your law. Lord, may these words of my mouth please you, and may these thoughts of my heart please you also. You are my rock and my redeemer.
And the following psalm from Psalm 21, a psalm of David. This is a praise psalm and a prayer psalm. In your strength the king rejoices, O Lord, and in your help how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the requests of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold on his head. He asked you for life, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your help. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. You bestow on him blessings forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them like a fiery furnace when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their offspring from the earth, and their children from among humankind. If they plan evil against you, if they devise mischief, they will not succeed, for you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
You'll be excited to know this morning that the message comes in two parts. And we've already had the first part. A dad called Dave. Not the perfect dad. And this is a message of hope and encouragement to all of us. For we recognise in David a man of God whose heart yearned after God. To be obedient and wise in his kingship and fatherhood, and yet who at times failed so miserably. There is hope for each and every one of us to live lives that bring honour and glory to God. For God's grace that we find in Jesus Christ is sufficient to make up that difference in our shortfall. When we wish we hadn't said what we'd said, or wish we'd taken the opportunity to say what we could have said, to have done things differently, to have been boundless in our love for our children and for others. Hear this message as the third part in our growing in prayerfulness, as we explore what it means to pray the Psalms. Psalm 19. It is a hymn of praise. It is filled with ascriptions of glory to God, and it is a celebration of God's creative power. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands day after day. They pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. David, the psalmist, is acknowledging that the whole of creation is in praise of God the Creator. And you and I, as the culmination of God's creative energy, share in being captivated and giving expression to that cosmic praise. It is also a testimony to the righteousness of God's laws. And David writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." That we would recognize God's instructions to us as being like light, a light to the path of life's journey, like a lamp to our feet, a torch that helps us to find the way in the darkness of this world. And those beautiful descriptions of God's laws, God's precepts, they are more precious than gold, even pure gold. And they are sweeter than honey, honey from the honeycomb. Now, I don't know if you've ever eaten honey from the honeycomb, but having it drip and drizzle all over your hands, the stickiness that you experience is neither here nor there compared to the sweetness of the honey, that beautiful taste. And David is saying, this is what God's instructions are like to us. Sweet, life-giving, joy-filled. And the psalmist, David, as he's writing, comes to this momentary point of introspection and asks the question, but who can discern their own errors? And it prompts a request for God's help. And David writes, "Forgive my hidden faults." Those things that we don't even see of ourselves. God, forgive those things that I am even unable to name, not even aware of. Keep your servant also from willful sins. Those things, Lord, that I am tempted to do. Restrain me. Hold me back. Give me the strength of your Holy Spirit to help me to stand steadfast and firm, that I would remain pure in heart before you. And may these sins not rule over me. And then there is the expression of the heart's desire to be holy before God. And David writes in verse 14, "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. There is such a wealth of prayers within the Psalms, and I'm just looking at the Davidic Psalms today. There are other authors who are contained in the canon of Scripture that we call the Psalms. We don't need to have to make up our own prayers every time we come before God. We could turn to Psalm 19 and use that as a way into God, a way of giving expression to that praise that the whole of creation is already orchestrating, that we would be but one instrument in that orchestra, that concert of praise to God. In the concluding part of that particular psalm, David is entering into this recognition that in the context of the awesomeness of God, there is something about the fragile nature of who I am, God, before you. Safeguard me from sin. Help me to be pure. Now, I skipped over this part in the children's message, and you know why. But David, as the king of Israel, had great wealth and great power. And yet, in catching a glimpse of Bathsheba bathing naked, he couldn't help himself but to take that which was not his. A man who commits adultery and then seeks to cover it up by murder, sending Bathsheba's husband Uriah to the front line of battle in order that he would be killed, that David's sins would be covered over. And then the child is born, the consequence of that relationship. And David is brought into agony before God as the child is sick and facing death. And the infant dies without being given a name in the scriptures. My friends, if God can love and raise up to greatness such a person who would do those things, how much more is God faithful to us in our brokenness, in our fragility, in the sinfulness of our lives? God is a faithful God. And Psalm 51 is introduced by these words: "For the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba." Psalm 51 is a cry for mercy in accordance with God's love. It is a heart yearning from David to be cleansed from the utter despair of his sinfulness, from the guilt and the pain of all that he had done, and that which he had afflicted upon Bathsheba and Uriah. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions," David writes. And in this recognition of his own sinfulness, "wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from sin." Just in these past couple of years, a funny thing, I hadn't experienced a midlife crisis, and I'm not sure that this is one, but just in these past couple of years, have been reminded of things that I had done in the past that I've been so ashamed of, and being brought to my knees before God again. To be sure that I'm forgiven, the pain that I caused to myself and to others. God, I find in Psalm 51 that heart cry that I can express for myself in seeking God's grace and forgiveness. And the desire that David had to be made pure of heart. In verse 10 we read, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And the yearning not to be abandoned, but to know God's presence and the gift of God's Spirit. In verse 11, David writes, "Do not cast me from your presence." God, this is the moment that I don't need isolation. I need your comforting arm embracing me, holding me to yourself and saying to me, "You are my child in spite of what you do." Do you hear that? You are my child in spite of what you do. And to take, Lord, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." And there is that seeking of a restoration of joy. In verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." God, allow the transformative work of your Spirit to be at work in my life, that I would again be made whole. And we take a step forward from the Psalms of the Hebrew Scriptures, recognizing the place of Jesus Christ in our salvation and forgiveness of sins. God's grace for every person. And then there flows out of this, "God, as I receive your gift of grace and mercy to me, help me to be a teacher to others. And this promise to teach others, then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you." That as people loved, restored, forgiven, that we would be people who help to usher others into that same transformative relationship with God. That we would be people of invitation, inviting others to recognize that they don't need to continue to bear the weight of their sins and the guilt of that throughout their lives. They can be forgiven. They can be released into freedom, just as you and I have been. And are seeking to bear witness to God, to open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. And David's piece de resistance, his offering of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And this is where you get to the bottom of the barrel, folks. This is where you find yourself empty of any goodness. And before God, all that we have to offer is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And this is what David writes: "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." Which brings us to Psalm 12. Psalm 12 is a corporate psalm of lament, a cry for help for God's people, a despair, in fact, for the whole human race. And David writes, "Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbour. They flatter with their lips, but harbour deception in their hearts." And in this cry, David intercedes for the poor and the needy, which is an interesting thing that a king would do. the one who is powerful, who makes the laws of the land, recognises the depravity of the human situation and cries out to God, because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And then in verse 7, you, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked. It's an invitation to be mindful of others as we come before God in prayer. That in growing in our prayerfulness, we would not be consumed with our own situation and circumstances, but that the Spirit of God would lift our eyes beyond our own needs to the needs of others. And in our prayers today, we've prayed for that circle of people within our own fellowship and beyond, to the nations of the world, people who are unknown to us by name, but are so familiar to us because they are a part of the human family, that we would allow God to inspire us to pray for this broken, hurting world. And then finally to Psalm 20. It is a psalm of exhortation. And David writes, may you know the Lord's help when in distress. Verses 1 and 2, David writes, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. And may God give you the desire of your heart. May the Lord grant all your requests. And I say to those who say to me, I don't know how to pray, then what is the desire of your heart? Because even the desire of your heart is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit has sown that into your soul. If you don't know what else to pray, pray for that which is upon your heart, your heart's desire. God will soon show you if it needs to be otherwise. If the desire of your heart is to pray for healing for a friend, a family member, for yourself, then pray with all the faith that you can muster. If your heart's desire is for the well-being of your children, your grandchildren, then pray earnestly, often, for them, praying God's protection over them and God making the way for them, that they would know that God is leading them in their lives. Verse 4, may God give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. In the very first week, we spoke about finding that alignment of our hearts and minds with the will and purpose of God. And this is what David is writing off here, that we would be inspired by the Spirit of God to give expression to those desires that God has placed upon our heart. May the Lord grant all your requests. And then, and here is the point of rejoicing, let us celebrate your victory together. Let us bear testimony to one another of that which God has done in answering our prayers. It may not have been an answer that we had expected. It may not even have been in the time frame that we had suggested to God. But in acknowledging God's faithfulness to us, in experiencing God's action in the lives of those for whom we've prayed. Let's rejoice and tell the story as we inspire one another and exhort each other to grow in faith and in prayerfulness. And these final couple of verses, that some people trust in chariots and horses, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. As dads, as parents, as grandparents, as those who influence the character of our children, our young people, let us teach them that it is in God's strength, God's grace, God's power, God's name that we discover the help that we need to live God's way. God has revealed to us in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, that he not only cares for us as a loving heavenly dad, but he saves us from our sin and reveals to us his glory. May we discover in the words of the Psalms inspiration for our prayers and spiritual food for the journey of Christian discipleship. In the name of Christ, amen.